Welcome to the Scripture Talk podcast, where we discuss trending viewpoints, important teachings, and eyewitness testimonials relevant to Christianity today. My name is Jason, and today we'll be taking a closer look at an important teaching from Scripture. In our previous two talks, we first discussed the nature of faith and then the nature of prophecy. A common thread in each of these talks was an emphasis on God's direct involvement instead of a reliance on self. Faith is not educated guesswork, rather the response of belief and trust to an encounter with the living God. Prophecy is not simply repeating Scripture and applying it any way we see fit, but is direct communication from God's own mind. So in order to have faith, and in order to have the gift of prophecy, we need direct involvement and direct communication from God. Okay, great. That's easy to say, but how do we get there? What does it look like? And how do we discern whether we're encountering God and receiving his prophetic revelation? Let's start by taking a look at the account of Cornelius as recorded in Acts chapter 10. In verses 1 and 2, we read, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." Let's pause here for a moment and make some observations about Cornelius. First, he was a devout man and feared God with all his household. This means that he had a lifestyle of showing reverence and worship to God, and he led his family into that lifestyle of worship by his example. This is reminiscent of Joshua when he said, "As for me and my house, we will fear Yahweh." Second, he gave alms or donations generously to the people. In addition to reverence and worship, he put his money where his mouth was and loved people by taking care of their needs. Third, he was always praying to God. Asking God for his involvement was a regular and constant dimension to his way of life. Devout reverence, sincere generosity, and constant prayer are three key aspects of Cornelius' relationship with God. Let's continue with verses 3 and 4. "About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God.'" Here we see God's side of the relationship in action. God sends an angel to Cornelius to inform him that God has recognized Cornelius' generosity and has heard his prayers. His experience is not unlike those of others written about in the Scriptures, such as the prophet Daniel and the apostle John. Let's move on to verse 5. "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, who is called Peter." God now gives Cornelius a command to act and has prepared another messenger, this time a human being filled with the Holy Spirit. Cornelius, of course, responds faithfully and sends for Peter, who himself received a prophetic vision concerning Cornelius. Let's jump ahead to verse 24. "And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius waited patiently for the messenger that God was sending and made sure to include everyone close to him to experience whatever special thing God had in store for them. When he met Peter, he recounted the event that took place that prompted him to summon Peter, adding an important detail. Verse 30, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Cornelius was fasting until he prayed. Let's keep that in mind. Peter then responds to Cornelius with the gospel message and makes an important proclamation that we see in verse 35. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Being accepted by God was met with miraculous confirmation and was not limited by Cornelius's lack of Jewish background. To top it off, God brings one other person to the party. Let's read about him in verse 44. "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word." It was that person, that is, the Holy Spirit, that came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Now let's recap. Cornelius was devout. He feared the Lord. He led his friends and family by his example and with his words. He gave donations generously. He worked righteousness. He fasted and he prayed. God then responds to Cornelius by hearing his prayers and remembering his donations. He sends an angel. He prompts Cornelius to invite Peter to his house. He speaks the message of Jesus through Peter. He builds the faith of everyone in attendance. He sends his Holy Spirit. He gives Cornelius and those with him the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues. This is how Cornelius encountered God. Now, what about us today? Should we expect to experience God the same way? Yes, absolutely. I can personally attest to numerous times in my life where the Lord manifested himself miraculously to me. The aspects of Cornelius's walk that motivated God to respond are exactly the same aspects of a walk that motivates him to respond to us today. The problem is, we often lack in one or more of the areas of faithfulness that Cornelius demonstrated. Can we be saved without having such a rich relationship that Cornelius had? Sure. But that salvation comes with a mediocre experience and works of wood, hay, and stubble that are burned up in the fire. If you want a walk of life that brings spiritual gold, silver, and gemstones, and if you want to experience God's miracles as he intends you to, imitate the example that Cornelius set for us. For devout worship, how many moments in a day do you think about God? If your mind is consumed with distractions, take some time to read the scriptures and get reacquainted with his glory. For telling those around us, how often do you bring up the name of Jesus in conversation? Try making it a point to share about your church life and insights you gained from the Bible that impact your life. For setting an example of good behavior, intentionally move conversation away from gossip. Avoid activities that lead to sin. Make it a point to apologize for thinking and doing wrong, and do right by blessing instead of cursing. Find creative ways to delight in God's law as a way to please him. For giving generously, do you give your money minimally? Do you expect people to pay you back? Try giving without asking for anything in return. Then do it again and again until it becomes habitual. Have you ever fasted? Try not eating a meal. Then try going without for a day. Use that time of not eating to orient your mind and heart to God in prayer. Keep knocking on heaven's door. Open the door of your own heart that Jesus is knocking on, and get excited for God to show up with a prophetic dream or for a person gifted with prophecy to visit your church and prophesy to you. Get excited to be visited by an angel. Even though it might not seem normal, miracles are actually supposed to be a normal part of Christian life, not a rarity. Rarity is wrong when it comes to miracles. The reason many don't experience God's miracles is because of unbelief. Jesus was unable to do many miracles even in his hometown because of unbelief. Oftentimes our prayers are insincere and lack urgency because we're concerned with our own pleasures and comforts rather than yearning to make a direct connection with God on a regular basis. Darius refused entertainment along with food because Daniel's night and a lion's den was a matter of life and death, and not a single lion touched Daniel. Try denying yourself a meal and a movie as a way to honor God and bring sincerity to your prayers. Finally, expect God to show up. You can absolutely expect to see an angel, to meet a person prophesying to you, to speak in a foreign language miraculously, to have a prophetic dream, to receive a healing, to expel a demon, or all of the above. Ask for it. Look for it. Look for the things that only God can do. And don't cut corners by relying on your intuition, feelings, coincidences, reasoning, or other people's opinions. God is a miraculous God, and he will meet you miraculously too if you believe and are willing and if you seek him in prayer. That's how you can encounter God like Cornelius did. Well, that's it for today's discussion. I'm glad you made it here to Scripture Talk, and I pray that you gained insights that will deepen your faith and love in Jesus Christ. Until next time, God bless you and keep your eyes on Jesus.